Believe we have Dave on the line. We had to chase him
around. As live as I get.
We had to chase
him. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Very thanks.
It's great to talk to you. Are you on vacation?
Yeah, kind of vacation. I go back to my waspish roots every so often, usually about once a year.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in Indiana, and so I come back here. And then we go into Michigan next week for a magic convention, and then I go back to L.A. and get back to the grind again.
Dave, it's interesting. I was just mentioning that the other night was the first time I realized or remembered. I used to watch Laughing all the time. I did not remember that you were a big part of that show, but you were. Tell us a little bit about
that.
Yeah,
I was on the first 2 years, and then I went to Partridge Family, and of course the show was on for 3 more years without me. So,
tell us a little bit about it. Laughing looks like a fun time to work there. I mean, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Laughing was fun, of course, and we also went out for 2 summers and did a live Laughing, 2-hour Laughing show in theaters in the round and in clubs and things like that. But the television show itself was not necessarily as much fun as it looked like. And the reason I say that is that it was an edited show, you know, and
uh-huh.
It was an editor's show.
Uh-huh.
It was put together to make it look like an hour of pandemonium. And that's not really, it was put together over a period of 3 days.
Uh-huh.
And on the third day, we'd just keep shooting until we finish. Sometimes we'd shoot 12, 15 hours.
Now, I wanted to give everybody a chance to listen to you as Reuben Kincaid on the Partridge Room. So listen very carefully here.
Oh, I remember my college days. And there was this one fraternity party. We had this cake. And Mimsy Schwartz.
Mr. Kincaid, there are juveniles present.
Oh.
You better finish telling me in my room.
You can read about it when I write my memoirs. The Thrilling Adventures of Reuben Kincaid.
It'll be a thin book.
That's of course a little piece of. That was an interesting character you played. Now, how did you land that role from the Laughing? And also, what kind of courage was there in your part to give up a show like Laughing to go to a new show?
I don't think it took courage. Maybe I, and looking back, maybe it did. But the way I felt about it at the time is that after doing Laughing for 2 years, one thing that I started to realize, and that is that they were going to have us do the same things over and over and over again. They locked you into, you know, with me it was the confetti, the milk at the cocktail party, the morose weatherman, and I saw myself doing that for a long time, and I felt that there was a possibility of getting stereotyped into something like that, and I think I was really right about it, because I know that the people like Artie and Ruth and people that stayed with the show kind of had a hard time after that. They didn't get a whole lot of work that wasn't somehow related to their Laughing characters, you know?
That's true, and also Alan Seuss would be in that category, too.
Yeah, and Alan Seuss, too, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just thought that I'd probably gotten all that I could get out of the show, and I thought it was time to move on, that's all.
Now tell us a little bit about how you landed the role on the Partridge Family and the kind of character Reuben Kincaid was.
Well, there's no exciting stories about that, really. I auditioned with about 75 guys, and then I went back and auditioned with about 25 guys, and then I went back and auditioned with 2 other guys. So there was 3 separate auditions where they kept whittling it down and whittling it down, and they ended up choosing me, and I'm not terribly sure why. The writer told me later that he voted for me, the guy that wrote the script, because he thought that I reminded him more of the character he was thinking of when he wrote the script
uh-huh.
than the other people did. And so that's why I got his vote. But as far as the rest of them and the network, I'm not really sure.
I just hung up a moment ago from Shirley Jones, who, by the way, told me to say hi to you.
Oh, that's nice.
And I
nice
was mentioning,
lady.
She's a great lady. I was mentioning to her that I thought that the casting of the show was perfect, and particularly your role. It seems to me like they knew what they were doing pretty well, and they got it right on.
Well, it was certainly offbeat casting, to say the least, because normally agents and managers have a look and a style in television shows and motion pictures. There's almost a stereotyped look and style about them, and I certainly didn't fit any of that. You know, they were usually terribly fast-talking, slickly dressed, cigar-chomping type characters. They really went away from that image, I think, with me.
What are you doing nowadays? Are you doing any more television?
Well, yeah, I'm doing a lot of voiceover work in the commercial field. That's the main thing I'm doing. I'm doing guest appearances on shows occasionally, but I'm not seeking acting work as much anymore. If something comes up and I feel like doing it, fine. But I've kind of become fascinated with the commercial voiceover field, and it's made me a lot of money.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a very lucrative field.
Boy, it sure is.
Yeah.
I just hope a lot of actors don't find out how lucrative it is.
Well, one actor who did, who I spoke with a while ago before he passed away, was Fred Gwynne.
Oh, yeah.
Who did a lot
Fred
of...
Gwynne, I'll bet Fred Gwynne made more money in the voice field than he ever made in the Munsters.
Oh, he did,
and the Munsters and Car 54 put together.
You're right, he did. He told me that.
Yeah.
He made more in a year than he did in his whole career.
Well, that's true with me, too. You know, I did four television series between 1965 and 1985. And between 1985 and 1990, I made more money than I made in that whole 20 years and the whole four series put together.
For trivia's sake, give us the other two series besides Laughing and the Partridge Family.
Oh, well, I did a series that only lasted a year called Camp Runamuck back in 1965.
Camp Runamuck.
It still runs on Nick at Night occasionally in places like that, but it was kind of a sort of a Gilligan's Island of a camping set.
Who else was in that series with you?
Let's see. Arch Johnson, Dave Ketchum, Leonard Stone. Remember Carol? Was Carol... Carol Wayne, remember Carol Wayne?
Carol Wayne used to be.
Carol Wayne
had
a sister named Nina Wayne,
uh-huh.
Who was a very pretty girl, and she was also in the show with us.
Huh.
Nobody were, you know, particularly big names or anything like that. In fact, it was the first thing I ever did as an actor, so.
So that was your stepping stone, huh?
Yeah, that was the thing that got me started.
And
then I spent 7 years with the Alice show.
Alice?
Uh-huh.
What character did you play
in Alice? I played Earl Hicks. I didn't start with the starting of the show, but the show was on for 9 years, but I was on for the last seven. Earl Hicks started out being Flo's boyfriend, and then when Flo left the show, then he became, since he was already a coach at a school, he became Tommy's coach, and then when Tommy went on to college, he just became Vic's card-playing buddy that got him into all kinds of trouble, talked him into doing things.
That's an interesting run. That was a long-running show.
Yeah, that was the longest run I ever had, and yet most people remember me with Partridge Family, I think, more than anything else. Just like you didn't even really remember Laugh-In.
No, when you're mentioning... first of all, I saw the anniversary show for Laugh-In. I guess they repeated it a couple nights ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was shocked when I saw you on there, but then I remembered that you were on there. But, you know, it's interesting because I think what it is you know, when you're on television, everybody remembers you, and it slowly fades, and you were on the first couple seasons.
That's right.
And
it was such an ensemble thing, and there were so many people that came on the show after me, I could understand easily why you might forget something like that.
Mm. We're going to take a very quick break, and we're going to hear a little bit of Partridge Family music. That'll make you feel a little bit happy. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking with Dave Madden right here on WMSX.
I go downtown and roam around, but every street I walk, I find another dead end. I'm on my own, but I'm so all alone, I need somebody, so I won't have to pretend.
And we're back with Dave Madden, and of course you all know Dave Madden as Reuben Kincaid on the all-revived Partridge Family, now appearing on Nickelodeon every night at 8 o'clock. How's it feel to have that thing back again and everybody talking about it and watching it again?
It just kind of reminds me of those particular roots, because for the longest time I thought I was on the Brady Bunch. No, I really did, because for the past 20 years, I don't know, at least 500 people have walked up to me and said, "Loved you on the Brady Bunch." And I eventually said, well, how could 500 people be wrong? I probably was on the Brady Bunch. And then when the show came back on the air, I said, no, those 500 people were wrong. I was on the Partridge Family.
Did you at all work for Nickelodeon to promote the show?
Did I work for Nickelodeon?
Did you do any stuff for Nickelodeon? I know David Cassidy's working for them.
I did some interviews, but no, I didn't. They mentioned one time that David was off in Philadelphia with the bus, and I said, no, the David Cassidy I know wouldn't come within 1,000 miles of the Partridge Family bus. But they said he was there and taking pictures with the bus and everything, so I guess he did that. I didn't do anything like that. I did some interviews and things, but I didn't go on the road or anything like. I'm really puzzled by all the fascination for a 20-year-old show. Anyway, I don't completely understand it, so I just kind of sit back in awe.
Don't you think a lot of it is because of the times we live in, and people wanting to hark back to those nice times and warm fuzzy feelings and nice families?
Well, possibly. Everybody gets into nostalgia sooner or later, I suppose, in their lives. And I guess there's a certain amount of nostalgia to the Partridge Family if you watched it growing up.
Talking about nostalgia.
Pardon?
Talking about nostalgia, we had a couple of people who called up and said, do you have any piece of Dave Madden from Laughing? So we are actually going to play right now for you, Dave, and for our audience, a little piece of Dave Madden from Laughing.
What's the matter?
Nothing's right. I feel tense, irritable. Do we have an aspirin?
Now, what's the matter? Do you have a headache?
What?
I say, do you have a headache?
What difference does it make?
Well, if you have a headache, you take aspirin. But if you want to write a song, you take Compone. And now, for all you...
Just a little piece of the Laughing Show.
Was that from one of those albums we did?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
I remember that.
Do you really?
I'll tell you an interesting thing about it. You know, Laughing was a highly merchandised show. They had lunch buckets. They had bubble gum cards. They had. We did two albums. Enormous amount of merchandising on Laughing back when it was on.
Mm-hmm.
And when the show was finally over after 5 years, they settled up for what they owed us for all the merchandising. Would you like to guess what my check was for?
$10,000.
$10,000, huh? I got a check for $0.02.
No.
An actual check. I still have it. I had it laminated. I didn't cash it because my agent would have wanted 10%. But no, that was it. $0.02. I got along with it a sheet that broke down that showed why that was that was my fair share of the merchandising.
I can't believe that.
I know. I used to take that check on talk shows with me and talk about it and show it to the audience because it is kind of unbelievable.
Now, also, since we're on that topic, do you get any royalties at all from it playing on Nickelodeon?
Oh, no. The Partridge Family was done under the old 10 shows and out rule. Later on, they had a perpetuity rule that came in, but that was... Alice falls under the perpetuity rule. Anytime they run Alice, they have to pay me something.
Yeah.
But Partridge Family was just 10 runs, so by the middle of 1977, all the Partridge Family shows had run 10 times, and nobody's gotten anything since the middle of 77.
Except for Shirley Jones and David Cassidy, who owned a piece of the show.
Is that true?
They just told me that. She just told me she makes money off the show.
Well,
so you better take it up with them, then.
No, I don't. I don't really care.
Now, Dave, where can we see you coming up? You going to be on TV soon?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I'm not really that anxious to get on camera anymore. I enjoy doing my voice work, and it's a good way of kind of phasing out of a business that I don't really understand anymore. It's gotten a little strange.
What can we hear you on, then? Have you done the ads that we may be able to hear on here soon?
Well, I got several national things. I've been doing Flintstone Vitamins, for example, on television for about 8 or 9 years now.
Now, when people hear you doing the Flintstone ads, do they know it's quote-unquote Reuben Kincaid? Can they recognize
them? Well, I don't know the answer to that. I know that that an awful lot of people recognize my voice who don't recognize me.
Yeah.
In other words, they hear me talking maybe at the next table in a restaurant, and they'll say, I didn't realize that was you until I heard you talking. And I said, well, I think my face ages faster than my voice, apparently.
Well, your voice sounds exactly the same as it did 20 years ago.
Yeah, I guess it does, pretty much.
Yeah. And Dave, I want to really thank you very much for joining us today and helping to salute the Partridge family here on That's Life.
Well, you're welcome, Mark. My pleasure.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.